When some of the disciples were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, 'I'm he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." And then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues. There will be dreadful portents, great signs from heaven. But before all these occur, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds. Do not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
I invite you to be seated. Now we see in our Gospel reading today the reality that Advent used to be a longer season, similar in length to Lent. And its focus was on the second coming of Jesus and the last judgment. And you hear echoes of that in our readings over the next couple of weeks, and especially you hear it this week, right? We are hearing in our reading from Luke a version of what is called in Mark the little apocalypse. Now, we tend to think of an apocalypse as a cataclysmic event with widespread destruction and fear, death and doom raining down from above. However, what this biblical genre really is talking about, what apocalypse really means, is an unveiling or revealing. It's a peeling back of the curtain to get a glimpse of what is behind it. And here it's peeling back related to the promise of Jesus to come again, and that when he arrives, the reign of God, the kingdom of God that he established, will come fully into being. That the restoration of the relationship of people with creation, with God, and with each other will be fulfilled, will be made complete. Now, this will mean a realignment of things in the world, which will certainly make for a tumultuous time. We know how that works. Just look what happens when you do spring cleaning or a major clean out in your house, right? Tumult. Things everywhere. You can't really get around, but ultimately the end is worth it. Things are brought back into a better order. Now, I've talked with you before about how you can read the Gospels, hear the Gospels at three different levels. There is first the level at which Jesus is talking in the story. You hear it within its own context. The second is you can hear the Gospel in the context of the audience to which that Gospel is being written. The audience that Luke has in mind as he pulls together this story of Jesus' life and ministry. And thirdly, it's to us in the here and now. This text is one of those that you absolutely can read on all three levels. When Jesus is telling the disciples in this, what Jesus is telling the disciples in this text, would have had the assembly hearing this gospel read to them in their worship, nodding their heads. they would have experienced the upheaval and insurrection of the Jews that led to the bloody destruction of Jerusalem and the temple in 70 CE. They would have been persecuted by both Jewish authorities and Romans. Their following Jesus would have torn them from their families and led to their being betrayed into the hands of the authorities because of their beliefs. Jesus is describing their current, or at least their recent, reality. The promise Jesus makes throughout is that God is with them. Now, we know that there are always signs and portents going on throughout human history, things that we would put into these categories, things that people have always pointed to and said, ah, now is the time. I remember my mother reading Late Great Planet Earth in the 70s. And we see it happening ourselves today, right? Hurricanes that continue to smack into the coasts one after another. Mega droughts draining reservoirs. Wars of aggression that kill tens of thousands purely for human vanity. Upheavals and conflicts as people struggle for power in our nation. But Jesus continually tamps down expectations about his coming again. You see these things? Yeah. But it's going to be a while yet. So what are we to do in the meantime? Well, Jesus gives us three commands in our text today. We don't hear it, but there are only three actual imperatives in the Greek language. Imperatives are commands. They tend to be one-word things, right? The first is watch. It gets translated as beware, but the word is see, watch. Watch that you are not led astray by those who say, I am Jesus, the time is near. Don't be reactive. Watch. Note, it's not go, it's watch. Look closely at something is what it implies. Examine it before you act, and don't be led off the path that Jesus has called you to follow. Second, what is translated as make up your minds not to prepare a defense in advance. Literally, it is a command to put it in your hearts. Settle it in your mind right now. Get set not to prepare a defense for yourself. Rather, trust God to provide what you'll need. God will give you what you need in that moment. One based on what Jesus has told us. To love our enemies. To pray for those who persecute us. One Jesus took to the cross when he was being crucified, where he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Finally, we are told to possess, keep our souls in patient endurance. To wait and endure. To be faithful, even in the face of trials. To be faithful and follow Jesus, even when we are persecuted. To be faithful and wait, because God is with us even in the midst of persecution, in the midst of trials, in the midst of natural disasters. And if we watch and we follow Jesus, if we trust in God to give us what we need to defend ourselves, if we patiently endure, then we will come out the other side. When we are stressed by the natural disasters around us, the wars external and internal, the challenges in our lives, when we start wanting to know, when will it be over? When? Jesus' response is the same to us today as it was to his disciples in Jerusalem and to that community that was assembled to hear the Gospel of Luke read to them. Watch. Be careful that you are not led astray by those who seem to have all the answers, who say, follow me, I'll get you out of this. Jesus says, follow me only. Watch. Decide now that you will trust in God to provide your defense. And be patient in enduring what you are going through and trust that God is with you. And that God's presence with you will make even this moment in life that seems so challenging, fuller and more abundant than if you try and go it alone. The good news is that the God who claimed us in the waters of baptism does not abandon us. That God is faithful and is with us even in the midst of trials and tribulations has been from the very beginning. And so let us watch and make up our minds and be patient in our faithfulness to that God who comes to us in Jesus Christ, who knows what it is to suffer patiently, doesn't he? Who knows us and our plight because he's been there himself. And in whom we are freed. Freed from the culture of death and violence that we are bound up in. And in whom we find life, love, joy, and peace. Peace deeper, calmer, stiller than anything that this world can give. Thanks be to God.